Well, church, we are continuing in our summer series, Saints and Sinners, where we each week are looking at the life of different people in Scripture, the good and the bad about their lives. And so this week, our story comes to us from the Gospel account of Luke in the New Testament, starting in chapter 19. So if you've got a Bible with you, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bible apps, or you can just like Google the Bible on your phone, but we're looking at Luke chapter 19. And would you join me as you're able on your feet, and we will read scripture together. Jesus, we thank you so much for calling us together, for bringing us here this morning, and we are looking forward to the things that you are wanting to speak to us through the scripture this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be alive and active this morning in our lives, Lord, that we would know you guiding, leading, shepherding us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And he, speaking of Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner?" Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Amen. You may have a seat this morning. Have you ever come across things that don't live up to their name? Think of a koala bear. It is not actually a bear, right? Or a red panda? Not a panda. Apparently, it's like a type of raccoon, related to a raccoon. One that was really misleading for me when I was a kid was carpool. I was so disappointed when I found out that there were not these like stretch limos driving around with swimming pools in the back. Like that's, in my mind, that's what I thought a carpool was. Or grape nuts, right? The grape nut cereal. It's not grapes, it's not nuts. It's just like this hard gravel that you're supposed to eat in a bowl. Boston cream pies are actually cakes. Cheesecake is actually a pie. I will fight you on that one. It has crust, right? The cheesecake, it's actually a pie. And what about customer care? Right, like how many times have you been on hold for like 30, 45 minutes hearing on repeat, "Your call is very important to us," right? Just doesn't live up to its name. Zacchaeus in the Gospel of Luke is someone who does not live up to his name. His name, Zacchaeus, means pure or morally upright. And for the readers of Luke's gospel account, and for any people who lived around Zacchaeus, I think his name would have caused them to laugh over the irony of it. Here's this guy whose name means pure and morally upright, and this is a guy who got rich by defrauding his fellow countrymen. It would be like meeting a guy who's like 6'5" and his name is Tiny, right? You just kind of laugh when you hear that. That's what the reaction would have been every time people talked about Zacchaeus. That this is a guy whose name and his character are completely out of whack with each other. We learn two things right away about Zacchaeus here in Luke's gospel account. First, he was a chief tax collector, and second, he was wealthy. And those two things went hand in hand. He was the main tax guy for a city named Jericho. This was a city that King Herod had his winter palace there. He leased the city from Cleopatra, who had received the city as a gift from Mark Antony, because she wanted this city because it grew a lot of plants and things that were used in her favorite perfume. So this was a place that had a lot of commerce. There was a lot of trees that would get cut down and exported out. So there was a lot of business happening here. So this was a great place to be a tax collector, right? If there's a lot of business and commerce, you have the opportunity to make a lot of money. People would not have liked Zacchaeus. His fellow countrymen would have despised him, because here he is, one of their countrymen, and he is in the employ of occupying Rome, who came in and took over their country and now is forcing the people to send money back to Rome to fund the emperor. And Zacchaeus is one of the guys who signed up to work for the oppressors and to take money from his fellow Jews. And not only that, right, we find out he's the chief tax collector, which means he employed all of the other tax collectors for the region. He was like the head honcho. He was the biggest trader in Jericho. And he made a lot of money doing it. See, we find out when you read through history of the time that one of the pluses of being a tax collector is that you would take the money from people that was owed to Rome, but you could just add however many percentages extra you wanted to line your own pockets. And so tax collectors constantly were just extorting money from the people that they lived around. And so this is how Zacchaeus funded his rich, lavish lifestyle, was ripping off innocent people. Every culture has people that are kind of despised and looked down on. People that nobody wants to associate with because of their actions, their history, the way they talk, the way they look, the careers they have. And tax collectors and Zacchaeus were that person, right? That person that was despised by others. His action, his career, people felt like everything they needed to know about Zacchaeus was summed up in the fact that he was a tax collector and he was wealthy. That was all that mattered, and that's all that anyone felt like they needed to know about him, because that said it all. This was a guy that nobody wanted to spend time with. But the next thing that we learn about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus was seeking. Here's this guy who's got all the money and the power in the world, and he is seeking something out. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. This is not exactly who we would imagine a seeker of Jesus to be, right? Like when you think of like who's the most likely kind of person to be on the lookout for Jesus, you probably wouldn't think of Zacchaeus. He didn't seem like the type who would be religious or pious. And I think we too would be surprised by the people around us who might actually be secretly seeking Jesus. They might not look like the type that we would expect. But just like Zacchaeus, there are people all around us who have their eyes open, longing to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And their life or lifestyle might not be the thing that clues you in that they are seeking him out. And I wonder what Zacchaeus was hoping for when he was looking to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Was it just idle curiosity? Had he heard like the stories about the miracles that Jesus had done, and so he wanted to just catch a glimpse of this guy? Or was it something deeper? Was there part of Zacchaeus that had this aching, this longing for something more? Even though he had this life of wealth and all of his earthly desires probably were met, did he have this longing within him? And he thought that maybe Jesus could be the answer for longings that were too deep for words. Have you ever had one of those days where you have the best of intentions and it just seems like all the events around you through your day just are conspiring to work against your best intentions? Right? One of those days that like you're gonna wake up early, you're going to exercise, you're gonna eat a healthy breakfast, you're gonna like make it to work on time, and you're even gonna have time to spend reading scripture and in prayer with Jesus. And then your alarm doesn't go off, the hot water heater broke, and so you've got a cold shower, one of your kids wakes up sick, right? Like everything just goes wrong in your day. I think this is what happened for Zacchaeus this day. He had all of the best intentions in the world. He was gonna go catch a glimpse of Jesus. And then all the circumstances around him seemed to conspire to keep him from seeing Jesus. And so we hear that Zacchaeus wanted to go find Jesus because he heard that he was walking through Jericho, and maybe he wanted to get ahead of the crowd, but when he shows up to the crowded street, he realizes that there's too many people there and he is just too darn short to see over the head of the crowds. Some of you here in the room don't even remember what it was like to ever have to worry about not being able to see over the heads of the people in front of you, right? You haven't had that problem since you were maybe in fifth grade. But for some of us vertically challenged people, we know the real pain of getting early to a movie theater, picking the perfect seat so that you can see the screen, and then some 6 foot something dude comes and sits down right in front of you. And so you spend the movie like looking to the left, and then he moves to the left, and so you move to the right, and he moves to the right. And you just spend the whole movie just like bobbing back and forth, trying to see over the tall person in front of you. Poor Zacchaeus, right? We learn he's the tax collector, he's wealthy, and the other important thing to know about him is he's really, really short, right? He wants to see Jesus, but there are just too many tall people in front of him. So he gets the great idea that he's gonna try to run ahead of everybody to where he's expecting Jesus to be, and he gets there and he sees this tree, right? Just like the children's song, he climbs up into the sycamore tree to see what he can see. Right, and so here Zacchaeus is, this like wealthy, powerful guy climbing a tree like a little kid because he really, really wants to see Jesus. He's willing to do whatever it takes to just catch a glimpse of Jesus walking by. And as Zacchaeus is up there in the tree, his hopes, his dreams all come true because Jesus comes walking down the street right in front of the tree that Zacchaeus chose to climb into. And it seems like Zacchaeus's day couldn't get any better, right? The thing he wanted the most this day was just to see Jesus, and here Jesus is walking by him. But things are going to get even better for Zacchaeus. He was just hoping for a glimpse of Jesus, and he ended up getting so much more. Have you ever had one of those prayers where you say, God, I just need to know that you're out there. Or God, I just need to know that you hear me and you haven't forgotten me. And when you say that prayer, you have God meet you in such a powerful way that day, just giving you confirmation. He answers your prayer, but that he goes above and beyond what you're asking for. And I feel like that's what happened for Zacchaeus this day. He just was hoping to see Jesus. And Jesus answers that hope and gives him so much more. And so Jesus stops at the base of the sycamore tree and he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus up there and he calls him by name. Like, Jesus knew Zacchaeus's name. He was expecting him. He was looking for him. Jesus looked up into this tree, called Zacchaeus by name, and went so far as to invite himself over to be a house guest with Zacchaeus. Jesus wasn't just happy with Zacchaeus catching a glimpse of him. Jesus wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted Zacchaeus to know that he was known, that he was seen, that he was valued, that he was loved. And so Jesus stops what it is that he was doing. And he pauses everything. There's a huge crowd around him of other people who were hoping to spend time with Jesus. And Jesus stops it all for this one man up in a tree. Jesus was seeking too, right? Zacchaeus was, he was on the lookout for Jesus, and Jesus was seeking too. The story, the account of Zacchaeus ends with Jesus saying these words to the crowd. The Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. He had been looking for Zacchaeus all along, right? Even before Zacchaeus started looking for Jesus, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was going to be here in Jericho, and that's why Jesus made his way here, right to the base of the tree. So Jesus looks up, he sees Zacchaeus, he calls him by name. And if Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, don't you think he knew so much more about him? Right? He knew what all the crowds knew about Zacchaeus. He knew his wealth. He knew where he got his wealth from. He knew Zacchaeus' past. He knew his present. He knew the condition of Zacchaeus' heart. He knew what kind of person he was, and Jesus was seeking him out all the same. And don't overlook how powerful this would have been for Zacchaeus to realize that Jesus knew him. Right? Jesus knew everything about him. He wasn't just another face in the crowd, but he was someone that Jesus was personally seeking out, someone that Jesus saw as worth spending time with. The reality that Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name is a reality that we all get to live with as well. Jesus knows your name. Right? And isn't that the most beautiful piece of information that you could hold on to? That the creator of the universe knows you personally. He knows your name, your past. He knows your present. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows your failures and your successes. He knows all there is about you. He knows your name. And the creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you, just like he went out of his way to seek out Zacchaeus and spend time with him. Jesus said, "I must stay at your house." He was so set on spending time with this man no matter what. Other people might have avoided Zacchaeus, but Jesus went straight to him. Others might have written Zacchaeus off as too far gone. Others might have talked about Zacchaeus behind his back, going over all the list of faults and failures and legitimate offenses that people had against Zacchaeus, but Jesus, knowing all of this about Zacchaeus, calls him out by name, treats him with dignity, respect, and gives him grace that he didn't deserve, right? And a grace that the crowds knew that this man didn't deserve. Just a few chapters earlier in Luke's gospel account, he records three parables, three stories that Jesus told. And the reason Jesus told these three stories is because he was in a similar situation where the crowds were frustrated with the kind of people that Jesus was hanging out with. Constantly throughout the gospels, we hear people complaining that Jesus was hanging out with prostitutes, with tax collectors, and notorious sinners. Right? Like the bad guys, the worst of the worst. Those are the people that Jesus was hanging out with. And so people were grumbling and complaining. And so Jesus told these three stories. First, he told the story of a man who had 100 sheep. And he had these 100 sheep, and one of them wandered off. And so the shepherd left the 99 sheep that were all safe. He left them to go over and start searching out and looking for the one lost sheep. And when he found the sheep, he put it over his shoulder and came back home rejoicing that he had found his precious sheep. Then the next story that Jesus told was about a woman who had 10 valuable coins, and she lost one coin. And so she tears her house apart, looking for the one coin that's lost. And when she finally finds it, she rejoices and celebrates. And then the final story is about a father who has two sons. One son is just like, he's got his life together, right? But the second son, the younger son, he's that kid, right? Like that kid that every parent is worried about. And so this son took his money, ran off from home, and lived a wild and really difficult life. But this son finally comes to his senses and decides to come back home. And the father welcomes the son home and throws a party and celebrates and rejoices that his lost son has come back home. But the older brother grumbles and complains because he's been living his life right this whole time. And the father is celebrating the life of the son that he knows was living poorly. And so Jesus tells these three stories about something that was lost, finally being found. And here in the life of Zacchaeus, it's like we have a parable being lived out in real life, right? Those three stories could all be encapsulated right here in Zacchaeus's life. That here is somebody, the sheep, right? The one sheep that had wandered off. And Jesus so cared about this one life that he was willing to overlook the crowd in order to focus in on the life of Zacchaeus. He had lived a life that went against all of God's ways, and here Jesus is searching him out and not giving up until he had brought the one lost sheep home. And so the response that happens to this interaction, we see that Zacchaeus responds with joy. He is blown away by the love, the attention, the dignity, the grace that Jesus is showering on him. We read in verse 6 that, so he hurried down from the tree and was happy to welcome Jesus. And then in verse 7, all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus' joyful response for Jesus' embrace of him is held in sharp contrast with the response of the crowd. So we have the joyful response of Zacchaeus, and then we have the grumbling response of the crowd. The crowds take on the role of the older brother in that prodigal son story, right? Like, the crowd knew that they hadn't been the one ripping each other off. They hadn't been the ones that were conspiring with Rome. They were living good, upright lives. Zacchaeus was the problem. And here Jesus is seeming to overlook everything about this man's past. The crowds knew that Zacchaeus was a sinner, and they couldn't see him as a person who Jesus could change and transform. They had no holy imagination for what Jesus might be able to do with a life like this. They could only see what they already knew about Zacchaeus. He was destined in their eyes to forever live with the label of sinner that he had quite rightfully acquired in his life. But with Jesus, there is no one who is too far gone, no one who is beyond redemption, no matter a person's past history, no matter how those close to you might see you, right? That doesn't matter in Jesus' eyes, because Jesus sees into the heart and knows what the power of transformation and new life can do. In this encounter with Jesus, it was all that Zacchaeus needed to be changed and transformed. Look at the response to Jesus' grace. In verse 8, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything," which probably all the crowd is at this point saying, "Yes, you did, right? You defrauded me. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." This is a changed life, right? This is the Christian word repentance, a turning away from one life and embracing a new life. He gave half of his wealth away, and he repaid fourfold everybody that he had ripped off. This goes way beyond God's required law at the time. When God's people had like ripped each other off and it was found out, they were supposed to give back what they had stolen, and then usually it was like a 20% increase in what you had taken. And here Zacchaeus is, and he's not satisfied with just giving back 20%. He wants to give back 400% of anything that he has ripped off. This wasn't cheap grace that Zacchaeus is experiencing here. His old life had consequences. He had harmed people, and other people were living with the consequences of his choices. But Jesus' grace gave him an opportunity to accept what his past was and to begin to make amends through the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. And so he has a chance to address his past and to move forward. Amends that cost him, right? The victims were no longer the ones bearing the brunt of his choices. And he was trying to make up for the past wrong that he had done. He received grace from Jesus, and this grace caused him to live a drastically changed life. And this change cost him. This change cost him. When repentance is real, it does require something of us. We don't just get to go on like before, and we wouldn't want to go on like before after experiencing the grace and acceptance of Jesus. After we've encountered Jesus' love and his grace, the only right response is like Zacchaeus's, to say, like, I want to live completely different in light of this new encounter that I've had. Zacchaeus shows us that there are not any people who are outside of the grace and the love of God. God creates space for even the most notorious people to have their lives transformed and shaped by his love. And the space for people to be transformed, to become the kind of people that God created them to be in the first place. We have Zacchaeus's joyful response, we have the crowd's grumbling response, and then we get Jesus's response. In verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too," speaking of Zacchaeus, "is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Those simple words, "he too is a son of Abraham," I think would have been some of the most powerful and transforming words for Zacchaeus to hear. Because remember, he had sided with the Roman oppressors. And by making that choice, he essentially had lost a relationship with his fellow countrymen. He had lost his sense of belonging, and family, and nationality because of his life choices. And here Jesus is welcoming him back and saying to the crowds and to Zacchaeus, he's one of us, right? He belongs. He has a family. He too is one of my children. And he's saying to Zacchaeus, it's not too late for you to come back home. Right? You might have spent a good segment of your life not experiencing what it is to belong to God. But God speaks to him in this moment and says, you do belong. You too are a part of the family of Abraham. I think what unites us all in this room this morning is two realities. That either you're someone here in this room who has experienced a moment like this that Zacchaeus had, where you were looking for Jesus and you were surprised that Jesus found you. You were surprised that Jesus was also looking for you, right? You had this moment where you realized that Jesus knew your name And that encounter with Jesus transformed and shaped everything about your life. And so you're either in that first category or you're in the second category where you are a person who Jesus is actively seeking out. And I think that's why you're here in this room this morning. Because Jesus knows your name and Jesus desires to seek out and save. He knows his sheep that have gone off. And so the reason you're here this morning is because Jesus is saying, I want you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. You belong. You belong here with me. Jesus knows your name. He knows all about you. He loves you, and he wants to welcome you home today. No matter where in your life you might have gone off track, right? No matter what choices you have made or what choices you have borne the brunt of, the choices of other people in your life, it's not too late to experience the welcome and the love of Jesus. And isn't it wild that here in this account, this man whose life, his name, right, his ironic name of being pure, morally blameless, that in the end of the story, this is who this man becomes after encountering Jesus. There's a second century Christian theologian, Clement of Alexandria, and in his writings, he talks about the fact that Zacchaeus later on went to become a bishop over the church in the area of Caesarea. And so here is this guy who went from just like being one of the notorious sinners, right, to becoming somebody who was serving God and serving the church. This man, whose name meant pure, morally blameless, upright, because of an encounter with Jesus, his life got to be restored back to God's original intent for him. Right? There were those years of wandering. There was those years where he was away from God. But God was able to redeem, to overcome, and to cause Zacchaeus' life to be transformed back into what it was meant to be all the time. And in the ancient city of Jericho today, there stands still this sycamore tree, an ancient sycamore tree that people think is about 2,000 years old. And so it's purported to be the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up into. But whether or not it is the tree, right, like we can't know that, but it might likely have been around when Zacchaeus was around. For tens of thousands of visitors who go through the ancient city of Jericho, that tree stands there as a monument to the fact that Jesus then and Jesus still changes lives. Jesus still seeks out and saves the lost. And when people have an encounter with Jesus Christ, lives are changed. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and join me here on stage. And we're going to have some time just to respond to the Lord in song this morning. And I'm going to pray for us before we go into the song. And my encouragement to you this morning, if you are here and you're realizing that Jesus is seeking you out, I would say don't leave this place without responding to Jesus. We're going to have some men and women from our prayer team who are going to be in this back corner of the sanctuary. And so when we all stand to worship, if you want, I would invite you to go back and pray with them. And if there's anything else in your life that you want prayer over, please go join our prayer team in the back. And as for others of us this morning, may we never forget our own Zacchaeus moment, right? That time when we realized that Jesus had been searching for us all along. May we never forget what it felt like when Jesus' eyes were on us and we realized that he knew everything about us and he loved us anyway. And may we never forget that the same God who sought us out is still in the business today of seeking out and saving the lost. And may our lives be part of that story. May we be a people who are sent out from here this morning to go back into San Diego to live lives that partner with Jesus, because Jesus is looking for the people who live around you. He is looking for the people you work with. He's looking for your family members. He's seeking them out, and he might want to partner with you to reveal himself through your life, through your words, through your actions. And so would we today remember what it was like to be found by Jesus? And would we have a renewed passion for the ongoing work of Jesus going out to seek and save the lost? Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus, we thank you so much that you are a God who knows us, and a God who relentlessly pursues us. God, we thank you for the ways that you have encountered each one of us. God, we thank you for the countless stories that could be told here around the room of our own Zacchaeus sycamore stories at the time that you found us and you changed everything about us. Lord, we pray this morning, if there is anyone here who has not encountered you, that this morning they would know you drawing them close to yourself, that they would know you gently whispering their name, inviting them to come be with you. Jesus, would you be drawing hearts and lives to yourself? And Jesus, would you give each one of us the eyes to see people with the eyes of heaven? Lord, would we not have the eyes of the crowd that couldn't look past Zacchaeus' history? But Lord, would we have eyes that are alive to you and to the way you see people? And would you help us to see the people around us that you are inviting us to cause our lives to intersect with their lives for a redemptive purpose? God, would you give us not only the eyes to see, but hearts that are sensitive to the things that your Holy Spirit would want to speak to and through us on behalf of others. God, would we be a people who walk in the power of your Spirit all throughout this week for the purpose of people encountering